You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host today, Dumisani Mfune. We will be together for the next 13 minutes. I have lots prepared for you today. We're going to continue on our topic, Believe the I Am.
He says, you will never find it. You will never find that thing that can sustain you, because it is only Him. It's only if you come to Him.
We'll also see the connection between construction and parenting with Dr. Mfune.
Months passed and I had seemingly forgotten about it. One day, completely unplanned, I found myself at this construction site again. To my amazement, what I saw suggested that there were going to be no rooms below ground level. Politely, he told me that the building under construction was going to be a 15-story high building, and it needed a very strong foundation.
And then we're going to hear a very, very moving testimony from Johannes Williams, a man who has been living with HIV/AIDS for the past 14 years. He made the necessary changes that you too can make if you are living with HIV/AIDS. What do parenting and construction have in common? Dr. Mfune will address that for us, and he will explain to us what he learned observing the construction of a tall 15-story skyscraper. Coming up next in Practical Matters is Dr. Mfune talking to parents.
While I was in Zimbabwe some years ago, I came across a construction site. I saw a very deep hole. When I saw this, I concluded that this building was going to have some rooms below ground level. Months passed, and I had seemingly forgotten about it. One day, completely unplanned, I found myself at this construction site again. To my amazement, what I saw suggested that there were going to be no rooms below ground level. Failing to control my curiosity, I went to one of the workers and asked why there were going to be no rooms down there. The man looked at me in amazement and asked me who had told me that there were going to be sub-ground level rooms. I told him that I'd been at that very place a few months ago, and there had been a very deep hole. The man looked at me and smiled. Politely, he told me that the building under construction was going to be a 15-story high building, and it needed a very strong foundation. This brings us to our second commandment for parenting, and that is, you shall not make for yourselves any idols after anything in heaven or on earth that detracts your attention from attending to your children. You shall not bow down to these idols, for I am a jealous God. I will visit the results of neglecting your children and the third and the fourth generation, but show love and mercy to thousands of parents who do their work faithfully and follow the instructions I've given them on how to parent children. Many times parents act as if they have the whole future to train their children. We should realize that our children are just passing through our homes. Farmers who are serious about farming know just what to do if they're going to harvest a bumper crop. A bumper harvest begins when the farmer is planting his crop. As parents, we ought to know that early childhood is the most impressionable age. One day, I came across a small pamphlet written by Alex Lowell entitled Children and Sabbath School. On page 6 and 7, I found information entitled Milestones in Child Development. The author writes that by age 2, the personal lifestyle of a child will have already been developed. By the age of 3, the character of a child is formed. By the age of 4, the intelligence of a child has grown up more than it will for the next 13 years. By age 5, the brain of the child is 90% developed. By age 6, the mental and emotional patterns of the child are set. In relation to this first foundation-forming years for children, Ellen White in the book Child Guidance writes that the foundation of a child is laid in the first 3 years of life. She writes that it is during these years that parents need to bend the tiny twig, the child, for this is the time the foundation is laid. Elsewhere, she talks of the importance of the first 7 years of a child's life. In fact, there's a host of scientific evidence confirming the importance of the early years. Remember that all Jochebed and Amram had were 12 years to train Moses. And after that, Moses went to live in Pharaoh's palace. With such information before you, you need to ask yourself, is whatever it is that you are doing worth the future of your child? Are the altars you are building worth sacrificing your children on? Are the glories of the idols you are worshipping worth blinding and stopping from attending to the needs of your child? Take time to lay good foundation of your children. You are not likely to get a second chance. You can read more about these important issues from my book, Parenting for Heaven.
That was Dr. Mfune giving all of us parents great advice. If you want to get any more information from what Dr. Mfune talked about, if you want to find out more about the authors he quoted, please write into the station and we'll give you more information. That book that Dr. Mfune has written is available, and if you write into us and request for it, we will tell you how you can get it. Remember, you're listening to Adventist World Radio. Our address is AWR, that's Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can email us on awr@sidmedia.org, awr@sidmedia.org. Still to come is Pastor AJ telling us more about the great I Am and how we can remain in the great I Am. But before we get to that, we all know that HIV/AIDS is plaguing this beautiful continent of ours. And a lot of it has to do with the attitude of those who sadly are affected and infected with this deadly virus. But you will hear a testimony from a man who has found hope to cope with this deadly disease. Up next is Johannes Williams. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hope to Cope. I have a very special guest with me in the studio. His name is Johannes Williams. Now, he has a very, very interesting story to tell of how he found hope to cope with a very, what a lot of people would call a very bad situation. I'll let him tell his story. Johannes?
Right. My name is Johannes Williams. I'm living in Somerset West, and I'm HIV positive. I've been HIV positive since 1998, and as I go so long, it's been a heart-telling story, but I want to tell everybody, there is hope in life. Isn't it that you are HIV positive, that you are going to die the next day? There is hope. So the thing that I accepted, that I've been HIV positive, and I want to live my life fully, so I get tested. And as I get tested, I've been found out that I'm HIV positive. And then I was asking myself the questions, what now? Why me? And then I get to my mother. That was a few years ago before she passed away. And she gave me some courage and hope to get on with my life. She was a diabetes with sugar. And she said to me, it's not a thing that you're going to die today or tomorrow. All you have to do, you just have to believe in yourself and believe that you can get well. So I take her encouragement and I said to myself, okay, that is the way I'm going to be. So the next step I have to do, I have to tell my wife about it. And I went and go tell my wife as I was speaking to her. She looked at me and she asked me, but why you, Johannes? And I said to her, listen here. That is only a wrong thing I had to do in the first place, but now I'm sorry for it. But I have to tell you now that I'm HIV positive. And as we were speaking that time, she turns around and she gives me a smack that I won't forget. It's like yesterday.
Oh, she smacked you?
Yeah, that was a time when I was telling her, but it is like it was yesterday. I still see her doing it to me as I spoke now.
And how long has that been since you revealed this to her?
That was about, say, exactly now, it was 13 years ago.
13 years, and you still remember it?
Yeah. And so as I goes on with my life, and then I said to her, come, I want you also to get tested. And I go with her to the clinic, and I said to the sisters, I want my wife also to get tested. And she was also diagnosed as HIV positive. And we live a quite few years after that. As the time goes along since 1998 till 2004, and then I start to losing her. As the time comes along, I was still working without support group, nothing. It was only me and my family. We give ourselves support, but I was gratefully lucky that I met somebody called Denise. She was like a counselor at the clinic, and she gave me some advice, where can I get some people who can take me a little bit further into this thing. And I went to Pick and Pay a few years ago. As I was sitting there, I met Derek and Wilma. That was the two counselors who was working at the time for Pick and Pay. They hugged me and they gave me a lot of encouragement. And as we goes on, I had some few workshops that I done for Pick and Pay, told everybody about my status, and everybody on that floor actually get tested the next day. And they said to me, well, you give us courage and hope to get on with our lives as well. Through you, we can see actually what it means to be HIV positive, because we haven't got people in our workshop or in our department who are HIV positive. So everything was actually confidential at that place and at that moment of time when we were speaking. And as time goes, they give me a lot of hope so forwardly. And then I move on. As I move on, I get my baby tested. His name was Baron. And that time it was in 91. And he get tested for HIV positive and he was HIV negative. And I praise the Lord for that because he's my last born. And so as I goes on, and I said to myself, now, what is the next step? And the next step was that I have to turn my life around. I have to check on myself, that I must use my tablets at the right time, and at the right time at night. And everybody, please, just remember, when you are HIV positive, isn't it the thing that you're going to say, it's a lifetime sentence, isn't it? there is hope for us, and we must just believe in ourselves and take it from there. Use it like I said, it's only you have to turn your own self around, and then you have to check what you're eating, and you have to check what kind of time you're going to use your tablets, in the morning or in the afternoon. So I will suggest you do it like 7 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night.
Now, Johannes, how did you find out that you were HIV positive?
That was a few years in, set in 1998. I had a boil under my arm, and I went to the clinic, and they said to me, just wait a little bit more till it gets ready. And as it gets yellow under my arm, I open it with a needle, and I take a milk bottle, I put hot water in it, and I start to draw it myself. As I was taking the bottle and hold it against my arm, I was squeezing the bottle, and since the blood and the thing come out, it was dark. My blood was a little bit dark, and it worries me. And I said to myself, from there on, I must get tested.
So, which means that you already knew about HIV, and the fact that your blood, the color was slightly different, made you a little suspicious.
Yes, that was actually the thing who makes me worried. And I said to myself, from there on, I must get a test. And so I get tested, and I turn my life around.
That was Johannes Williams with his life-touching testimony. To hear how he turned his life around, make sure you listen to Hope to Cope next Monday. Guys, it's important that everyone gets tested for HIV/AIDS so that if you are HIV positive, you make the necessary changes. Remember, it's not a death sentence. If you had more information on HIV/AIDS, write in to us. Our address is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. We have a lot of information that is waiting for you. Just call in and we'll give that to you so that you know the truth about HIV/AIDS. And whatever questions you might have, bring them forward. Coming up next is Pastor AJ telling us that whatever we're looking for, we won't find it anywhere else except in the I Am. Be blessed.
We learned last time that God sustains us, and He is the only one that can sustain us, and that there is nothing else that can sustain us. The amazing thing is, yes, He sustains us, but not only that, He defines what He sustains. He sustains our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. And in this episode, we will be looking at those two aspects. In Christ saying that He is the only one, that it doesn't matter how much you go looking or how much you go searching for that thing that you think will sustain you. He says, you will never find it. You will never find that thing that can sustain you because it is only Him. It's only if you come to Him. He is the only one that can sustain your physical needs. That means any physical need you have, you name it, He sustains it. You see, in this part of the verse, the word used for come in the Greek is in the form which should be translated as follows. The one who comes of Himself will never ever hunger. Christ has already declared that He is the only bread of life. Now He goes and states that He has prepared an infinite table full of life before everyone to come to Him and eat. He doesn't say that He will come and fetch us. He says that we must of ourselves come to Him. And only then will we never hunger. Only then will we never need anything physical in this life. Because we've come to Christ. This can only happen when we go to Christ of ourselves. He has prepared the table. Are you going to go to Him? Are you going to practice your faith by going to God? Are you going to take every problem you have and go to the one with the eternal source of sustenance for your human, physical, incomplete needs? It is only by us going to Christ of ourselves that we realize that He sustains us completely. I need to pick up my Bible and read about who He is. I need to struggle with Him about concepts that I am struggling with. I need to go to Him in prayer so that He can sustain me completely. I need to talk about Him to others so that their lives can benefit from who He is to me. I need to pray this prayer. I cannot do this on my own. I am a wretched human full of fault. Christ, save me. Give me a new life. Show me the way to walk. Show me how to come to You. This is how we need to go to Christ. Will you go to Him today? Will you leave your problems at His feet? Believe that I am today, and He will sustain you. Practice your belief in Him by coming to Him. But that is not all He will sustain. He has declared that He will sustain you physically, that He has all the storehouses of everything you and I need in this world. All we need to do is ask that which we need, and He will provide. But He goes a step further. He sustains our physical needs. You and I have a void in our life. Yes, a spiritual void which needs to be filled by someone. And that someone is God, and God alone. Jesus Christ says in the second part of the verse that he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Greek translation takes it a step further and deeper. The phrase could be read as such: he who is believing in me will never ever thirst. This action of believing is a continuous action, and it needs to happen daily. We need to believe in the one who saves us daily. We can see it in such a way that this section is referring to the spiritual aspect of life, since the word belief is a spiritual motion, where the word come is a physical motion. We need to believe in Christ. Unlike those who wanted Him to prove His authority again, after He did it once for them before, we need to believe Him the first time and practice that belief in going to Him. Christ brings our actions and beliefs together. For the New Testament writer, especially John, water was a significant symbol of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, according to this verse, he is saying, if we believe in Him, we will never ever thirst for anything spiritually ever again. We will be full, but that doesn't mean believing in Christ only once, and that is it. It means believing in Him continuously. Your belief in Christ is found in your coming to Christ today. And not just today, but daily. In you coming to Him right now. Are you struggling to apply your faith day by day? Are you so focused on the materialistic things of life that you forget about the spiritual sustenance that Christ gives you on a day-to-day basis? Come to Him right now to show Him that you have faith in Him. Both the words come and believe are in a form which depicts a continuous action. We need to come to Christ daily. We need to believe in Christ daily. This is not easy since there are many things that distract us. You're probably struggling with this concept. I challenge you today, try God and see who He is. You might not know Him, but He surely knows you. If you want to get to know Him, ask Him to enter your life today. Build your relationship with God. This is the only way to come to Him. This is built in us practicing our faith in coming to Christ daily in every aspect of life. At your work, when you are playing sports or exercising, when you're at home with your family, this is when you need to go to Christ every single second. Don't get angry with your boss or your husband or wife. The reason for this is that Christ has already saved you and He has died for you. He has prepared the table of life for you, and He now invites you to come, to turn away from your old ways and come to Him. To come to Him this morning, to come of yourself this morning and give your life to Him. He cannot come and fetch you. He wants you to come of yourself and turn away from your old ways. No one can take you to Him. Only you can come to Him. You need to make the decision today to come to Christ. Once you have done that, He says, you are clean. Go and live like that now. Study, witness, build your relationship with Christ. Will you, with all your baggage and all your problems, with all your walls of issues in your life, will you come to Him today? I invite you to do so right now. I invite you to make a stand for Christ right now. Say with me, I believe in the I Am. Your decision is made. You want to believe in Christ? This is your chance to make a stand for what is right and practice your belief in Him by coming to Him today. Come, I invite you to let us believe the I Am.
That was Pastor AJ encouraging us all to believe in the I Am and to make a stand for the I Am. If you want to find out more about the I Am, how you can develop that personal relationship with Him, write into us. Our mailing address is Adventist World Radio, AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That's P.O. Box 22. Somerset is spelled S-O-M-E-R-S-E-T. Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can email us using awr@sidmedia.org. awrs@sidmedia.org. You've been listening to Practical Living on your practical station, AWR. And I was your host, Dumisani Mfune. So remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.